Fresh out of Memphis State Law School, Rudy Baylor never wanted to be a lawyer. His father's devastating experience with endless business lawsuits had cast a large shadow over Rudy's childhood, driving his once proud father into alcoholism and depression. Now, with graduation approaching and his promised position at a prestigious firm suddenly evaporated, Rudy finds himself drowning in student debt with nowhere to turn. That's when fate introduces him to the Black family, working-class people whose son Donnie Ray is dying from leukemia while their insurance company, Great Benefit Life, callously denies coverage. Despite having a policy that explicitly covers bone marrow transplants and an identical twin brother as a perfect donor match, the company has rejected their claims 8 times, once writing, "You must be stupid, stupid, stupid." This textbook bad faith insurance case ignites something in Rudy's conscience, transforming his reluctance into resolve. With nothing but determination and moral outrage, he decides to take on a corporate giant that has built an empire on denying legitimate claims. Memphis has too many lawyers, a fact Rudy's law school acknowledged when promising to flunk a third of students as a favor. After losing his position with a prestigious firm, Rudy joins countless desperate graduates in a saturated market. His job search reveals harsh realities. One secretary treats his resume like garbage. Another firm gives him 10 minutes before showing him the door. Despite willingness to prostitute his education for less than market value, Rudy finds no takers. Circumstances force him to work for J. Lyman Bruiser Stone, a shady lawyer with a shark tank and exploitative payment scheme. There, Rudy learns the buzzard two-step, essentially ambulance chasing, from Deck Shiflett, a paralawyer who's failed the bar exam 6 times. Investigating the Blacks case, Rudy uncovers Great Benefit systematic fraud targeting vulnerable communities. The company sells cheap street insurance to low-income families, then routinely deny legitimate claims. Company statistics reveal only 1 in 30 bad faith denials results in legal action, making their illegal practices profitable. When federal agents raid Bruiser's office, Rudy and Deck establish their own practice from a converted apartment. They face Great Benefit's formidable legal team led by Leo Drummond, who arrives with dozens of associates. Their first court appearance highlights the contrast, Rudy, in his only suit, versus Drummond's team filling an entire side of the courtroom. Rudy's determination grows when Great Benefit offers a $75,000 settlement. Dot Black's reaction is explosive, reminding everyone no amount of money can resurrect her son. Though tempted by the potential fee, Rudy recognizes the offer as corporate weakness and advises against accepting it. The courtroom presents a perfect David versus Goliath scene. Rudy and Dot sit alone with just a legal pad while Drummond's team of 5 lawyers huddle behind mountains of paperwork, their excessive numbers making them appear menacing to jurors. Rudy's opening statement is concise. The Blacks had a policy, paid premiums, their son got sick, and Great Benefit refused to pay. Dot's testimony brings the jury to tears as she reads the denial letters, including the infamous stupid letter. When asked what she'd do with $10 million if she wins, she stuns everyone. "Give it to the American Leukemia Society. Every penny. I don't want a dime of your stinking money." The trial's turning point comes when Jackie Lemancic reveals Great Benefit's scheme. They implemented a 1-year experiment denying every claim over $1,000 regardless of legitimacy, netting an extra $40 million. Most people wouldn't consult lawyers, and when they did, the company would quickly settle legitimate claims blaming computer errors. After 5 days, the jury awards $200,000 in actual damages and $50 million in punitive damages, Tennessee's largest verdict ever. Yet victory proves hollow when Great Benefit files for bankruptcy days later, leaving the Blacks with nothing but the satisfaction of putting the company out of business. While fighting the insurance giant, Rudy meets Kelly Reichert in the hospital cafeteria, a beautiful young woman with a bruised jaw and casted leg from her abusive husband Cliff, who has trapped her since their marriage when she was 18. After Kelly suffers another brutal beating with an aluminum bat, she decides to file for divorce with Rudy's help. When they retrieve her belongings from her apartment, Cliff arrives unexpectedly, armed and threatening. In the ensuing struggle, Rudy severely injures Cliff, possibly fatally. This violent confrontation forces Rudy to confront his own capacity for violence and the moral complexities of justice beyond legal proceedings. Though Kelly is initially arrested, charges are dismissed after reviewing extensive documentation of abuse, 3 years of hospital records, ignored police reports, and photographs of injuries. However, threats from Cliff's family, combined with the collapse of the Great Benefit case and his emotional exhaustion, lead Rudy to question his future in Memphis and in law practice. The Rainmaker exposes how American legal and healthcare systems fail ordinary citizens. Great Benefit's systematic denial of claims represents standard industry practice, with fewer than 5% of bad faith denials ever reaching legal representation. This corporate strategy works because most people surrender when facing claim denials, overwhelmed by bureaucratic obstacles, endless forms, mysterious processing delays, lost paperwork, and demands for obscure documentation. Even those with lawyers often accept settlements far below what they deserve. The novel reveals how wealth skews justice. Great Benefit enters court with 5 attorneys from a prestigious firm housed in 3 floors of Memphis's most expensive building. Meanwhile, Rudy operates from a strip mall with borrowed law books and secondhand furniture. The inequality extends beyond resources. Great Benefit's team maintains political connections, shares country club memberships with judges, and can overwhelm opponents with excessive paperwork. Despite winning a $50 million verdict in the Great Benefit case, Rudy faces ultimate disillusionment when bankruptcy protection shields the insurance executives from accountability, leaving the blacks with nothing but moral vindication for their son's death. Rudy's journey exposes his fundamental disconnect with the legal profession, one he entered reluctantly and practiced uncomfortably. His experiences with the Blacks case, Kelly's abuse situation, and widespread corruption transform his understanding of justice beyond courtroom victories and monetary settlements. The Rainmaker reveals that true justice often manifests in personal transformation and moral clarity rather than legal outcomes. While Rudy sacrifices his potential financial windfall, he gains something more valuable: self-knowledge and conviction. After deep soul-searching, Rudy and Kelly leave Memphis with only a small leather bag, a symbol of their essential new beginning. They head west toward mountains and snow, planning to settle in a college town where Kelly can study and heal while Rudy teaches history, exploring justice without the corrupting influence of money. Rudy's departure from law represents not defeat, but triumph of personal integrity, choosing authentic living over compromised success. In a world where corporate power often overwhelms individual rights, his journey reminds us that sometimes the most courageous act isn't fighting a corrupt system, but refusing to participate in it altogether.